All right. Good morning. Let's open our Bibles to Psalm. The Psalms, chapter 32 this morning. It's good to see you. Brand new week. Psalm 32, and we'll read the whole chapter. This is from the NASB. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be as the horse or as the mule which have no understanding, whose trappings include bit and bridle to hold them in check. Otherwise they will not come near to you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord's loving kindness shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. Will you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you for a brand new day. We thank you for the life that you give us. God, we ask for your strength, and Lord, we pray that you would awaken our spirit and our minds, feed our souls, and God, help us to meditate on your good word. Father, we ask for your blessing today, and we thank you for your faithfulness as it surrounds us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So this is a Psalm of David, and it talks about how he's been holding his sin within him and the effects of that sin. And so, obviously, David is a man that is well known for his great transgression with Bathsheba. And so, he is a man who's holding around a lot of guilt. And there's something that happens when you've sinned against someone or sinned against God, and you're holding that inside. And I think a lot of times we are fearful of confession because we're afraid that we're going to be found out and the consequences of that. But in your experience and throughout the experience of history, we will find out that the consequences of not confessing our guilt is even greater than the consequences of that crime, of that guilt. Because what happens is it breaks your relationship with God, and that is even greater of a consequence than whatever worldly punishment that you could have for holding in your guilt or your sin. And so David, out of his experience, is saying, wow, it is blessed for the person whose transgressions or sin is forgiven, whose sin is covered. That word covered, it's a little confusing. It doesn't mean hidden, you know, like you're trying to hide it from God, but it means to put away in a place that can't be seen anymore. And so blessed is the person whose transgression is forgiven. Verse 2, how blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. You know, this is the NASB, and I feel like I got to translate it into English we can understand just so that we can be blessed by it. But what that means is that blessed is the man who the Lord doesn't hold our sin against us, and whose spirit there is no deceit or deception. And so what happens is that when we sin against people or against God, there's this emotion of guilt that really hangs over our heads. And there are a couple things about guilt that destroys our spirit. The first thing that guilt does is that it destroys our confidence. Guilt can make us feel very insecure because we're always worried about someone finding out about us. We're always worried. Police officers will tell you some stories of their biggest arrests come because they stopped someone for a minor violation and that person took off because they thought the police knew of a bigger crime that they have. And so what is common, at least in the States, is, you know, as you're driving, you may get pulled off for, like, not having a seatbelt or speeding. And you always see on the news They're on a chase, you know, a highway chase, because it wasn't just the seatbelt that they were afraid of. It was not the seatbelt violation that they were afraid of, but they're afraid of because they thought the police knew of even greater consequences. And so they hold that guilt around. And so it kind of destroys our confidence. And that's what sort of unrepentance and sort of a lack of confession of our guilt does for us. Another thing that guilt does for us is that it destroys our relationship. When we have unconfessed sin towards somebody, every time we're with them, we have this sense of guilt, and there's this lack of intimacy, lack of a depth of relationship, because we're afraid that he or she is going to find out that we did something wrong to them. And so our most precious relationship that is hurt when we have sin and we don't confess is obviously our relationship with God. And David knew this all too well, because he was a secret carrier of a grave sin. And he carried this secret over a year. And so now he's describing what happens to him as he holds the secret of his sin. And in verse 3, he said he kept silent about his sin, and his body wasted away through groaning all day long. And medical doctors and medical studies will show that there's a physical sort of reaction that happens to your body when you're holding on to secrets and holding on to this emotional guilt, that there's something that happens to your body. In verse 4, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. Other translations say your hand of discipline was heavy upon me, and my vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. For those of us who live in Hong Kong, we know exactly what that's like. You know, waking up in the morning and the humidity and the heat of the summer as we're walking through the streets, and our life is drained away because of the heat. And that's sort of a physical description of what happens to our souls and our bodies when we're holding in to sin. That our vitality is drained, and we walk around life totally drained and totally without strength and without vitality. And so, you know, one of the scholars says the secret sin and inner peace with God cannot coexist. And so if you have something that you're holding inside, that and inner peace cannot coexist at the same time. And so we lack inner peace when we're holding that. A third thing that happens, obviously, is that it damages our bodies, and there's physically hypertension and headaches, and guilt has been shown as a contributing factor to strokes and heart attacks and things like this. My dad was one of those guys who held a lot of secrets in his life. His background was he's a North Korean. He was North Korean heritage, and so just naturally he had a lot of secrets because he was afraid of being found out. One time he held a secret from one of his best friends, and they were holding secrets, and the government came and shot him because after that he was afraid to tell anybody anything. And so his whole life, ever since I've known him, he's held secrets, and I've seen that do damage to his body. He eventually, developed diabetes, and he developed hypertension, and he passed away due to failure in his kidneys. His body was wasting away. We didn't even know for the longest time that he had diabetes. He secretly took insulin, behind our backs, and it wasn't until later in his life, in his 60s, in his 70s, that we realized that he was struggling lifelong with this illness, and he held these secrets. And he used to hide snacks in the cupboard. And so, you know, my mom, you know, would try to give us healthy food. And so there was, you know, very little snacks in the house. And then, you know, a few days, I would see like sodas, and we never drank soda. My mom would never let me drink soda, and I rarely drink soda to this day. But then there would be sodas in the back of the fridge. And one time I would catch my dad, and he was a school teacher, right? So he had to wake up early in the morning, and he would always, yell at me to wake me up and just try to get me up. And then one day I remember, like, it was really quiet in the house, and I found my dad sleeping on the bathroom floor, you know, and it was just like he had his own bathroom. And so there's a lot of things that, you know, he tried to hide from us. And I have no idea, but I'm sure that it's a contributing factor to his health. And that's what happens when you hold all of this secrets and all these guilt and this sin that's unrepentant. But fortunately, David experienced a powerful thing when he confessed his sins, when he confessed his guilt to the Lord. And in verse 5, he says, I acknowledged my sin to you. In my iniquity, I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. You've got to understand that not only does Jesus forgive your sin, but he takes away that guilt. He erases your guilt. And that's when peace can come into your life. You may know people, or maybe you're one of these people yourself, where you live a life where there's such a lack of peace. And there's constant stress all around you. And of course, that could be because of your working situation or your circumstances and things. But I wonder if you were to examine yourself, is there anything that is unconfessed in your life that is causing you to have guilt? But the Lord says that he promises to forgive you of that guilt. He promises to erase your guilt. And when that happens, the peace of God can come and fill your spirit. Are you someone this morning that needs the peace of God? Or are you holding something with you all the days of your life? And then he promises your protection, his protection in verse 7. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. When we sin against God, when we sin against people, it is natural for us to hide away from God. When we sin against the Lord, it is natural for us to hide from God. We don't want to be found out. But the scriptures are encouraging us to have our place in God, to hide in God. Yesterday, we play a common game at home with Elijah, and it's hide and seek. I don't know why he finds that so fun, but he wants to play hide and seek, and he laughs. You know his laugh. He is just so happy playing hide and seek. And so, what he's developed now is that he doesn't go into a room to hide. He hides behind mommy or daddy, right? So mommy will be on the couch, and he'll go and he'll hide behind mommy. And then we'll have to pretend, where is Elijah? Where is Elijah? And he starts giggling as if we can't hear him. But he hides behind mommy. And then it's time to switch, and he has to find another place to hide. And then he'll come around my legs, and he'll hide behind daddy. And so whoever's trying to find Elijah, he'll hide behind daddy. And so I'll move around. And he hides behind daddy because he knows daddy will protect him. He knows that if he's behind daddy, that whoever tries to grab him or get him can't get to him. And so it really depends on who you're hiding behind or who you're hiding in. And I think this is a great picture of what Psalm is asking us to do, is not to hide away from God because of our sin, but to hide in God. When you have sin, to confess your sin, to release your transgressions, and to come and hide in God. And so when you hide in God, there is the protection. There are the songs of deliverance. There is the preservation from trouble. And so when you're holding guilt, I want you to remember that picture of what it looks like to hide in God. That when you hide in God, you will be protected, and he will forgive you of your sins and rid you of your guilt. And therefore, the peace of God can come and fill your life. And finally, in verse 10, many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall follow him. Or other translation says, unfailing love will surround those who trust in the Lord. And that's a great thing, that God's unfailing love will surround those who trust in the Lord. Now, the key there is trusting in the Lord. And a lot of times that is so difficult to do because we live in a world where our trust has been broken by many people, where trust even in God has been broken because bad things happen. This world is unfair. You know, good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people. But D.L. Moody once said, trust in yourself and you are doomed to disappointment. Trust in your friends and they will die and leave you. Trust in money and you may have it taken away from you. Trust in your own reputation, and someone with a slanderous tongue may blast it. But if you trust in God, you will never be confounded in time or eternity, and his loving kindness will follow you all the days of your life. And so that's what it comes down to. I think the most difficult thing to do is that when we have sinned against God, and believe me, we have sinned against God, it is difficult to release our sins before God and to confess our sins, and it's easier and natural for us to hold our guilt within us. But then it just means we don't have the right picture of who God is. We have this picture of God who is there to condemn, but he has sent Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. And David did a grave sin. He committed murder, adultery, a grave sin, yet he understood in his experience that he could come before the Lord and hide in him, and God's loving kindness will follow you all the days of your life. We've been talking about inner healing, and we've been talking about one of the greatest strongholds is unforgiveness. I want to encourage you this morning just to come before God and receive his peace. He is there to forgive. As far as the east is from the west, he remembers your sins no more. And as it says in verse 1, your sins are covered. It is gone away. It is not seen. It is hidden from his sight. And so let's pray this morning. Let's bow our heads, and let's. What I love about the Psalms is that it's really, Psalms are meant for meditation. There isn't much to exposit or to preach about. It's one of those things where you just read over and over again. You just read over and you digest, and you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And the beauty of this Psalm is that it is David's experience. He knows. He is a man who committed a grave sin, probably greater than any of us have ever done. And here he is from his experience and his wisdom saying, look, if you were to acknowledge your sin before God and not hide your sin and confess your transgressions before the Lord, he will forgive you of those sins. Will you come before the Lord this morning and search your heart? I think the most beneficial thing that we could ever do in our walk with God is to come before him and just to be honest before him and to confess your guilt. Would you be willing to do that this morning? Would you be willing to do that now? Just say, Lord, I confess the sin before you. Before you sing, let's just spend a moment and do that. And let's have a great morning as we confess and we understand that his loving kindness follows us. I Let's pray for our community, and let's intercede. And every morning we gather, it's a powerful time in the heavens. And so let's pray, because as we pray each day, we give strength to those whom we pray for. Let's pray for those who are sick with cancer, and let's love them through our prayers. And so let's lift them up right now. The names are on the screen, so go ahead and let's pray. Pray for those who are sick but still need salvation, and let's ask God to do a miracle. Let's pray for God's revelation upon their lives, and let's pray for miracles. So let's lift them up right now. Pray for those looking for jobs, and you know, for many of them, it's definitely a faith and a trust exercise. And so let's lift them up. Let's lift their hands as they continue to pray, and let's pray for those looking for jobs. Thank you. Let's move to our mission focus, and let's pray for China, especially for SP Beijing, for Pastor Sam Kim and his family, and Chris and Mary and the core leaders there. Let's pray for the Chong family. Let's pray for Matt and Nate's parents, the Basarabas, for Leanne, for Edie Clark, and the Chichiar kids, and the government and the churches there. Let's lift up China as God is moving already there. And so let's just lift up and ask God to do incredible things there. Lift up our Hunan mission trip. That's August 10th through 13, working with Edie and the chocolate and pizza factory. And let's pray that the team that goes would experience God's heart for the people. If you could pray for Edie and her health situation, she has a heart condition that is constant and terminal. So let's ask God to sustain her, her health. And so let's pray for the Hunan team. Pray for the SP staff, the pastoral staff, and administrators. Let's pray for the board of directors. Let's pray for the mission committee. Ask the Lord for direction and wisdom and guidance. And so let's lift them up in prayer. Let's begin to pray for Phoebe Ministry and Pastor Solomon and his family, and let's ask the Lord to really use them in our community here in Hong Kong with the Indonesian sisters. Let's pray for the Korean church and ask God to use them in the Korean community. Let's ask God to bless them and that they would be a blessing to the Korean community here also. So let's lift up these two ministries. Before we pray for our house churches, can we just lift up a prayer for Pastor Sam as he's recovering from surgery? He is doing well, but let's continue to pray all the way through. And so let's lift up our senior pastor. Let's lift up Pastor Sam and ask God to heal him and strengthen him and to encourage him and provide rest for his soul. So let's pray for him right now. Let's lift up our house churches that are meeting today, Lan Kwai Fong, Bonham, Old Peak, Harborside, Seymour, and Star Street. As we're coming to an end of a season of house churches, let's ask the Lord to help these house churches finish strong and that they would finish in love and faithfulness. And so let's lift up our house churches today. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, we ask for your peace. And God, we pray that we may hide in you, that you would be our hiding place, that you would protect us from trouble and that you'd surround us with deliverance. And God, we thank you for your loving kindness that follows us all the days of our life. And so, God, we lift up this day to you and we honor you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great day today. I encourage you to stay and pray and enjoy God's presence. And we'll see you tomorrow.